Beecher, what's happening, man? How are you?
Not much. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're at the rink, obviously, watching Brandon Sutter and Sven Berchi recover back from their injuries, skating ahead of the morning skate. But Tyler Madden, Quinn Hughes, they're going to be trying out for Team USA. We feel pretty good about Quinn Hughes' chances of making the team. But what about Tyler Madden?
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about Quinn Hughes too much there. Madden has a pretty decent chance. I'll admit I was a bit surprised at the scuttlebutt of him being named to the roster and now seeing the roster. I do think he has a legitimate chance to make the team in kind of a bottom six role. There's only 16 players named, and I'd anticipate they probably take 13 forward. So, you know, he just has to survive those three cuts, and I think that if he can display his work ethic, his tenacity, and his kind of smart play, and show that, you know, he can provide some value on that PK, then I think he can carve out a spot similar to what Lockwood did last season. You know, he didn't really have, he isn't the most known as an offensive player, but if he can find that role, I think there's a chance.
And when you look at how he's played at Northeastern, he's essentially stepped into the Adam Gaudette role and has had success. How encouraging is it to see him produce like this as a freshman?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He's basically taken Adam Gaudette's role there as the first line center and the first line center on the power play with some PK time as well. So yeah, he's definitely seized the opportunity that's there. And, you know, I think his play so far is he's earned the right to be at least in consideration and obviously earned the invite to camp. So, so far, so good for him. He obviously wasn't on their radar in the summer showcase. He wasn't even an invite there, but he's beat out a bunch of players, including, you know, the player that was taken afterwards in Jake Wise to earn an invite to the, you know, the more important camp.
Are they going to be linked together for a while, Jake Wise and Tyler Madden, simply because of how much hype there was going into the draft for Jake, and then he's taken immediately after Tyler? They both play in Boston at different schools, but in the same division too. So it just seems like the parallels are going to be right there for them for the next few years.
Yeah, I think if you follow my Twitter, you'll definitely see they get compared quite regularly every time I provide any sort of update on on Madden. It's almost like clockwork. You'll get a question asking about how Wise is doing. So I think that the two will be, you know, forever linked just because there were quite a few people, myself included, who thought that Wise would be a good pick at the slot that Madden was eventually taken. But with that being said, I think that Madden was a good pick. The thought process behind the Canucks taking him was that he was going to, you know, get a good opportunity in Northeastern with Adam Gaudette leaving. He wasn't given a huge chance in the USHL to showcase that offensive skills. So the thought was, you know, he goes to Northeastern, he gets to play with, you know, better players, be given a huge opportunity. And if he can seize it, then he's going to, you know, reap the rewards offensively. And so far, so good. You know, with that being said, we are, you know, 14, 13 games into their NCAA careers, and, you know, we're probably another 60, 70 games away from them even signing, you know, entry-level contracts. So there's still time to see what happens. But at this part, I think the Canucks, you know, made the right decision.
Less than 3 weeks away until the World Juniors kicks off from Vancouver and also in Victoria. Now, we know Jack Hughes, a lot of excitement about him heading into the 2019 draft. He was named to the preliminary roster as well. We think Quinn should be the best defenseman at that tournament, or at least that's the expectation. How far along is Jack from being the best young forward at that tournament? Or does someone on his team already take some of that mantle? Like a guy like Oliver Wahlstrom, who's coming back here, or maybe another center in Team USA, like Joel Farabee?
No, I think that Hughes has a chance to be the best, you know, center in this group. I think he has the most, you know, the chance to be the most dynamic in the tournament in the center ranks. Like, you know, looking at the other rosters, there isn't really, a center that stands out to me that could give him a legitimate run for their money if he's playing the way he should be. I think Wahlstrom and Farabee, they're both, you know, have a year more of experience, and I think that they'll, you know, shine in the tournament. I won't be surprised to see those three reunited again. They were, locked together from basically December onward last year, and they were dynamic together. So I think that, you know, I won't be surprised to see those three together, and then, you know, they'll kind of make each other better and stand out from there. I think that, you know, there's been a lot of, Kapokako is taking a step forward this year in terms of how he's done, which has kind of cast a shadow on what Hughes has done so far this year. But the kid is still such a dynamic offensive player. He's so smart. He's really, you know, a fantastic skater. There's a reason why he's, projected to be the first overall pick. And I think that everyone's going to be quickly reminded as such once the tournament gets started in the unboxing day.
And before we get to some other draft-eligible prospects, Quinn Hughes' production level at Michigan this year has been pretty remarkable. Another great weekend for him. Now has 19 points in 15 games. Last year had 29 points in 37. He actually leads his team in scoring right now. Do you see that continuing? And how big of a ceiling does he have production-wise this season with Michigan?
Yeah, he's kind of the last few games. I believe he's on a 9-game point streak right now. I unfortunately don't have my notes in front of me to confirm, but since basically the end of October, he's been on a tear, putting up points and just finding ways to produce offensively, whether that's on the power play or 5-on-5. And to be honest with you, I've actually been surprised at the lack of power play production for him. He's obviously known to be that power play quarterback, but the majority has been coming at 5-on-5, which is really an encouraging sign and definitely more indicative of him being able to sustain the production rather than just relying on a hot power play. So, he's been playing fantastically. There's still some, little mistakes here offensively, defensively, which we want to clean up. But I think there's little doubt about what his offensive game will be and how quickly it will translate to the NHL.
Is it fair to say that maybe his biggest drawback right now is sometimes trying to do too much?
Yes, I would say that's absolutely correct for sure. I think sometimes he gets a little too bit rambunctious. I can't recall which game it was, but there was recently a play where he tried to deke out three guys in the neutral zone and it ultimately failed and they came back and scored. So it's those little things that are going to drive a coach mad, and it's things that he's going to have to work on in order to, gain coach's trust. But yeah, I think that he's saying that he sometimes is trying to do too much is exactly the problem.
Talking with Ryan Beach, it is Thursday. So Thursday's at the beach here on Sportsnet 650. Ryan, some disappointment from Canucks fans in the sense that Jet Wu didn't make the preliminary roster. His teammate did. His head coach is the same one with him at Moose Jaw that's running Team Canada this year. Is that a disappointment, or is simply a bit of patience here considering now he's up to 20 points? I believe he had, a four-point night last night? So is this a bit of a miss from Team Canada, or do you still think this was the right decision overall?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He had a one goal and three assist performance last night. He was really actually, I'd say, pretty dominant in his performance. He was named the first star. Many Canucks fans will recall when Cole Lind was left off the roster last year, he went on an absolute tear afterwards. And, it's easy to point that Wu maybe is doing the same thing as motivation. Ultimately, I wasn't shocked to see that he wasn't named. I was expecting him to, but I wasn't surprised that he, didn't end up making the cut. I think that the Team Canada is pretty deep on the back end in terms of, puck moving defensemen. And unfortunately, Wu just ultimately wasn't able to do enough to make it. Although, the last month, again, just like Hughes, he's been on an absolute tear. Mm-hmm. The benefit with Wu, though, is that he is still eligible to play next year at the tournament. So I anticipate he'll be a large part of that defensive group once these 19-year-olds graduate to whether that's professional hockey or go back as overagers or something like that. So, it's not the end of the world in terms of it. I think that we will use it as motivation. He seems to be a kid who just wants to prove people wrong and get better every single day. So, so far, so good on that first night.
And another player that was left off his respective team's preliminary roster, that's Vasily Podkolzin from Russia. Is there any sensible explanation as to why he's not being represented here? Or is this a bit of a head-scratcher even for yourself?
It's a bit of a head-scratcher, although Russia has been pretty, consistent in terms of making it a fairly 19-year-old roster. There has been some exceptions over the last few years, but generally they lean pretty heavily on their 19-year-old players rather than 18- or 17-year-olds. So that's probably the reason why he wasn't being named. I think they probably left a little bit of skill on the table by leaving him. So we'll see how that goes, but that's my belief of the reason why.
And Ryan, before we get to a couple of players from the Utica Comets, which draft eligible player are you kind of looking at? And I know Kapo is the guy that's really, and Jack Hughes, but is there somebody that's on a roster that could make a team that you're very intrigued by who could really help us stock come the World Junior Championship?
No, I don't think so. I think that those are the two that kind of stand out to me in order to, get good views on them to see what their level of competition was. Obviously there's quite a few players left out, like including Bowen Byram, which mm-hmm. I think would have been, he probably would have held his own. But yeah, those are the two that, kind of stand out to me as Kako and Hughes.
Now, with the Utica Comets, we spent so much time talking about defensemen here in Vancouver and what they need. And we know they have a lot of injuries. But of the guys who are healthy, who do you think has a chance to maybe come up here and maybe show he's better than a couple of these defensemen, considering how lackluster they've been on the back end here this year?
Yeah, I've definitely been considering that as well. Evan McEnany is a player who I think has obviously been forgotten because of, you know, he just can't seem to stay healthy, but he's been playing extremely well the last couple of weeks, and maybe he's someone who could come up and, you know, get an opportunity if the Canucks make a decision there. There's always Ashton Sautner, which I know there's a couple of people within the organization are still high on for being a depth defenseman, so I think that he's been playing reasonably well, and it may be, you know, be the player that they would look at to call up if their, you know, injuries do occur. Gillian Breezeball continues to kind of go through his learning curves. You know, he definitely shows signs of why the Canucks are excited about him as a, you know, as a prospect. But then there's also things that you can definitely tell he's still, you know, pretty green on the edges in terms of his overall play, whether that's on the offensive side of the puck or the defensive side of the puck. So, you know, I don't think that he's going to come in and quickly make things, you know, better in the long run. And then, you know, Chatfield is still unfortunately out right now. So, you know, there isn't really an answer right now, but I think that he's another player that, you know, when he does return, if the Canucks make a move, that they, you know, might come up in a pinch.
We know, of course, the Canucks traded away Michael Carcone for the big move in acquiring Josh Levo. Who of the young Utica Comets forwards are going to benefit the most from having Carcone leave the lineup when it comes to just playing time here?
I think it'll be kind of the rotation of Cole Lind and Gazovich and Palmu and Jasik, although the last three of those group were obviously healthy scratches once again. But, you know, it does open up another spot for them. Carcone at the start of the year was part of that rotation of inserting players into the lineup. And, you know, now it's just one less body to go through. So hopefully that means that those four will get more regular game action. But those are the ones that stand there because, you know, Jonathan Dolan has kind of, you know, cemented himself as being a regular in the lineup. Same with Zach McEwen, and Brendan Gaunt is also, you know, that player that kind of just will not be taken out of the lineup. And then you have their veteran players. So I think that those four that I mentioned previously will be the ones to benefit. I do think that they should be making more of a conscious effort to insert players like Jasik because he's been playing extremely well. And so is Lynn coming back from his injury. So, you know, now we kind of have to wait and see what the long-term effects of that deal is.
Could you see Jonathan Dolan starting to, at some point, lead this team in scoring? Because he has 14 and 24, whereas some of the other players, they've been ahead of him for basically the entire season, guys like Boucher and McEwen and Tanner Kiro too. But Dolan's come on strong more lately over the past month. Could you see him just continue to take that next step in his development and become one of the top scorers for this team?
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I think Reid Boucher is definitely an elite player at the AHL level. You know, his deficiencies to his game can kind of get overlooked, and he can showcase the things that allow him to put up points, and he gets a lot of opportunities on the first power play unit and, you know, on the first line. So I think that, you know, Boucher might be tough for Dolan to keep up with, but I think that, yeah, you know, he could easily catch up to whether that's the Carroll or the McEwens, just kind of because he's now getting more opportunities, feeling more confident in terms of his offensive game. Well, still working on that 200-foot game. So I think that, yeah, I think he's been on a tear. He's been playing well. The points have been falling based on that good play, so it's good to see. But, yeah, I don't know if you'll ever catch Boucher again, but I think the other one's for sure.
Sportsnet 650.